It's Tuesday, June 9th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, China rejects G7 criticism of its South China Sea claims as a high-ranking Chinese military official prepares to visit the Pentagon.
So the fact that the United States and China have routinized mill-to-mill communication to this degree, as opposed to China, say, canceling the visit because they're unhappy with U.S. statements, is a good sign.
A VOA reporter joins the Myanmar Border Patrol seeking to control human trafficking in Western Rakhine State, and jazz guitarist Earl Klugh hosts a musical weekend in Colorado Springs. It's all ahead. China on Tuesday slammed the Group of Seven Nations for making irresponsible remarks about Beijing's disputed territorial claims in the East and South China Seas. In a statement at the end of a summit in Germany on Monday, G7 leaders expressed concern about Asian maritime tensions and called on all sides to respect international law. The comments were seen as a criticism of China's efforts to create artificial islands to enforce its claims in the South China Sea. China's foreign ministry dismissed the G7 statement as being far from the facts. Meanwhile, a senior Chinese military official currently on a trip to the United States is scheduled to meet Defense Secretary Ashton Carter at the Pentagon Thursday. The South China Morning Post late Monday said General Fan Chunlong, vice chairman of the Central Military Commission, was leading a Chinese delegation to Washington at the invitation of Carter. Denny Roy, a senior fellow at the Hawaii-based East-West Center, tells VOA's Victor Beatty the visit by General Fan, among China's three top military officials, comes as bilateral relations are entering a more dangerous phase.
It's always good to have communication, whether in normal calm times or especially amidst a crisis, if you could say that we're in somewhat of a crisis now. So the fact that the United States and China have routinized mill-to-mill communication to this degree, as opposed to China, say, canceling the visit because they're unhappy with U.S. statements, is a good sign. But whether or not some positive resolution of the disagreement comes out of it is a whole other matter.
There's a publication called DefenseNews.com which said that a senior defense official indicated the issue of the South China Sea island reclamation will be a major topic of discussion between Defense Chief Carter and General Fung.
There, of course, are other long-term simmering issues, but this has more or less reached the level of a crisis. It's the latest crisis in U.S.-China relations, of which there are one every several years. So this marks the end of the period of very good relations that prevailed a few years ago, but we've been gradually deteriorating to now we've reached this point.
Defense Secretary Carter was at the Shangri-La Security Forum in Singapore, had some pretty straight language with regard to China's land reclamation and expansion policy in the South China Sea. Obviously, this conversation Thursday will be candid.
I would think so. Some analysts think that Secretary Carter's remarks were maybe straight to a fault, that is, to publicly demand that the Chinese and the other parties, but of course everyone understands it was mainly aimed at China, to publicly demand that the Chinese stop the reclamation efforts risks putting the United States in the position of giving the Chinese an order that they clearly will not follow, and thereby maybe reinforcing the impression that the Chinese probably want to give the region, that the United States is more or less a paper tiger.
It was a little over a year ago that Mr. Carter's predecessor, Chuck Hagel, arrived in Beijing, and before he did so, he said, in reference to China, you can't go around the world and redefine boundaries and violate territorial integrity and sovereignty of nations by force, coercion, or intimidation, whether it's in small islands in the Pacific or large nations in Europe, to which General Fan responded when he met with Secretary Hagel, the Chinese, quote, including myself, are dissatisfied with such remarks.
Well, of course, the Chinese position is China owns the territory in which they're reclaiming land, and China, if anything, has been very restrained. And furthermore, that the United States is an outsider, an interloper, has no authority, no legitimate basis for even commenting on this issue, let alone intervening. It's quite a stark difference in position, and won't be resolved easily. Certainly, I don't expect it to be resolved by General Fahn's visit.
The timing, you might say, is inauspicious given the media reports that seem to point the finger at China with regard to the latest massive hacking incident involving U.S. former and current federal employees.
And this is one of the longer-term simmering issues on the U.S.-China agenda, but I would expect that General Fahn will continue to stick to the Chinese government line that Chinese government's not involved, the United States ought to stop, as they put it, groundlessly accusing the Chinese government of involvement.
That's Denny Roy of the East-West Center in Hawaii. He says a decade ago, bilateral relations were considered on the upswing. Now he says they're in a trough, and he hopes that trough doesn't get deeper. But he says that remains a possibility as China grows stronger and demands more of a leadership role in the region, and the U.S. seeks to maintain its traditionally preeminent role. Well, joining me here in the studio is web desk editor Andrew Polshevsky with a look at what's trending today. Andrew, what's happening?
Well, we have a couple different stories that have started over the past couple days, as they often do in social media, have kind of simmered and now are blowing up on social media, as we say. So we have this video out of the a Dallas suburb, Dallas, Texas, here in the United States. It's a pool party in this neighborhood. Most of the residents of the neighborhood are white. Most of the attendees of the pool party are black. There was some kind of fight among the teenagers at the pool party. Police were called, and someone took out a cell phone and started shooting this video of this police officer throwing this young black girl to the ground. This video has gone viral. It's ignited another debate on race, more protests in the country, and it all started on social media because someone posted it to their social media accounts, as we often see these days. Someone else getting in trouble on social media is Prime Minister Narendra Modi of India. We've talked a lot about him on this show because he's a very prolific user of social media, but he's in trouble now because he met with Bangladesh's prime minister and said that she's been a great partner in fighting terrorism despite being a woman. And that did not sit well with many people on social media, the hashtag despite being a woman quickly trending, people making a lot of jokes saying, oh, well, I'm, you know, managing my family and going to work and the primary breadwinner despite being a woman. So he's taking a lot of flack for that. But we'll end with a positive note because we have these two heavy stories. Yesterday was National Best Friend Day. And so hashtag National Best Friend Day was trending on social media. Now, this is very interesting because people use this to talk about their best friend and post pictures, but it's not just regular people. It's businesses, celebrities, sports teams. They're all seizing on this hashtag and posting pictures and trying to promote their brands or their products, what have you. So it's an interesting use of social media, taking these kind of arbitrary holidays and things and using the trends that people are spreading on social media to as a business venture even. So
yeah, it makes people think about the importance of their best friends, too.
Yes, absolutely, and the importance of their best sports stars and all the other things that they're trying to sell on social media.
Right, absolutely. Well, thanks, Andrew. That's web desk editor Andrew Polshevsky. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute. $3.5 million in prizes were on the line as robots from all over the world competed in the DARPA Robotics Challenge Finals held in June in Pomona, California. Teams demonstrated specially built robots developed to help emergency workers respond to disasters. The robots had to perform a number of tasks such as driving alone, walking through rubble, tripping circuit breakers, turning valves, and climbing stairs. Gil Pratt is with the U.S. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency.
The reason you need robots is when it's too dangerous for people to go into a particular site. A great example was at Fukushima. They could have gone in there and vented those reactors and prevented the explosion.
A team from South Korea took the top $2 million prize. The $1 million second place prize went to a Pensacola, Florida team. And third place, worth $500,000, was taken by a robotics team from Pittsburgh. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, we hear about a jazz get-together featuring guitarist Earl Klugh and his friends. The plight of boat people in the Indian Ocean has seen thousands taking to the seas on rickety ships, seeking work or safe haven. Many are Muslim Rohingya who have been fleeing Myanmar on a regular basis since sectarian violence erupted in 2012. VOA's Colin Lovett rode with the Myanmar Border Patrol in western Rakhine State, which says it is there to combat the human trafficking. He spoke with Francis Alonso about what surprised him most.
I was actually surprised that the Myanmar Border Patrol had taken this extensive of a step to fence off an entire 63-kilometer river with Bangladesh. The purpose, of course, being to prevent human trafficking. They say that they haven't actually captured any human traffickers after 2 years of patrol, that all of the incidences that they've had so far have involved regular crimes such as drug trafficking. However, the Myanmar Navy in the last month has rescued over 900 people from two different ships. We had a chance at the invitation of the Myanmar government to go meet with 200 Bangladeshis who were among the people who were on one of those ships. And they talked about horrific conditions on those ships. Myanmar has promised to do all it can, not only to rescue people who are stranded on the ships already, but also to do everything it can to prevent further acts of human trafficking in the future.
Now, let's talk about those conditions. Can you describe what the victims told you? Tell us, who is it that you encountered?
Well, the people we encountered were 200 men. They were all Bangladeshis. They came from a ship that had 208 men. The other 8 men were Rohingya from Myanmar, and we were not given access to them. The Bangladeshis who we did talk to talked about horrific conditions, nightmarish, that they were out there for 3 months on the open seas, that they were fed 2 grams of rice or less a day, very little water, and that they were beaten if they asked for more. The crew of the boat said that they would take them back home, but only if they paid a significant sum of money to them for people in their condition.
When you visited with the victims, who did they say the traffickers were?
Thai. The captain of the boat was Thai. Many of the crew were Thai. There were a couple of translators who were Bangladeshi, or at least spoke Bengali, to translate between them and the crew. At least 9, plus the captain, are in detention in Myanmar and being investigated for human trafficking. We were not given access to them to get their side of the story, but Myanmar officials say that a report will be issued in due course.
So when you spoke to the men, to the victims, what happens to them now? Where do they go? Where do they stand? Will they go back to Bangladesh?
Actually, yes. Bangladesh has agreed to accept all 200 back. They have verified their claims of Bangladesh citizenship. More than 100 of them have already left. We don't know when the repatriation will be finished, but we would expect that it would not be too long of a time.
Just recently, Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina had said that those who were leaving the country were going to be punished. Did they fear any kind of punishment once they got back to Bangladesh? Did they mention any of that to you?
They didn't directly mention any fear of punishment. But interestingly, when we were in the first room, they divided the group into 2 groups of 100. And we asked the men, the first few men told us that they were victims of kidnapping, that they had gone to Cox Bazar looking for local work, and that they had been tricked onto getting onto boats or outright kidnapped onto getting onto boats and then sold to a larger boat at sea. We can't tell whether they were telling the truth, but when we asked an interesting follow-up question, which is, in the future, do any of you expect to or hope to go overseas looking for work, 3/4 of the men raised their hand.
That's VOA's Colin Lovett in Myanmar speaking with Francis Alonzo here in Washington.
Hashtag VOA. It's a weekly show, Tuesdays at 1730 UTC, where we bring you the top topics of the week. But the show lives on social media every day with your daily video shorts, What's Trending Wednesday, and the Friday Fast Five. Subscribe to the show at YouTube. You can find us at hashtag VOA. You can reach me at Twitter, at Perry Cal, or talk to the show anytime. Please don't forget to like us on Facebook. We like to be liked. We love to be seen. And you can reach us anytime.
You're listening to VOA. One of the great guitarists in the world of jazz recently spent a weekend making music with his friends. VOA's Steve Norman gives us a listen.
Well, he's done it again. Grammy Award-winning jazz guitarist Earl Klugh just hosted his annual Weekend of Jazz in the U.S. city of Colorado Springs and invited some other world-class talent, such as Burt Bacharach, Dave Grusin, Lee Ritenour, Nicky Yanofsky, and jazz enthusiasts from all over the world simply to have some fun.
Thank you.
Clue's big hit, Dr. Macumba. With more than 30 albums to his credit and dozens of awards, Clue never stops performing. And as he told Fox 21 TV, it's for good reason.
This really has helped me over time playing the guitar because basically I'm a shy person. But, you know, I love it. You know, I just really enjoy it.
When you think of the women of jazz, names like Ella Fitzgerald, Nina Simone, and Rosemary Clooney come to mind. But there's some new names on the scene. Nikki Yanofsky's one of them, here singing I Got Rhythm.
I got rhythm, I got music. I got my bed, who can ask for anything more? I got daisies in green pastures. I got my bed, who can ask for anything more? Home in trouble, I don't let him. You won't find him around my door. I got starlight, I got sweet dreams. I got my man, you can ask for anything more. Ba ba da 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 ba ba da ba 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 da ba da ba da ba 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 da ba da ba da ba da ba ba da ba da ba da ba da ba ba ba. Oh man, trouble, ba da da ba da ba da. You won't find him, ba ba da ba da ba da da ba da. I got rhythm, I got music. Oh, ba da 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 da.
Representing all the millennials who love jazz, it's 21-year-old Nikki Yanofsky. Wouldn't be a jazz festival without two of the really great songwriter performers of all time. That's Dave Grusin on the piano. He's written so many award-winning songs for the movies and TV and more. And Lee Ritenour, a guitar virtuoso whose talent is second to none. They're teaming up with a lot of other talent on the stage in Colorado Springs to perform Grusin's Mountain Dance.
That's the sounds of jazz from Colorado Springs. Well, if you'd like to listen to today's program again or any previous broadcasts, please visit our website at voanews.com. Go to the Programs tab in the upper right-hand corner. Then you can scroll down to International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks very much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. Ambassador Anthony Wayne met with the deans of public and private universities in Mérida, Mexico, on May 25th to promote the exchange of students and teachers between the United States and Mexico. During the meeting, they discussed the efforts and interest of both governments in student exchange programs, including President Barack Obama's 100,000 Strong in the Americas initiative, which seeks to promote increased international educational exchanges between the United States and Latin America, the Caribbean, and Canada. The goal of the initiative is to reach 100,000 annual exchanges in each direction. Ambassador Wayne highlighted the importance of the U.S.-Mexico Bilateral Forum for Higher Education, Research, and Innovation, which promotes prosperity in the region through student exchange. The group also discussed barriers to student exchange, including misconceptions about the security situation in Mérida or the cost of education in the United States. It also explored how to mobilize more private sector support to fund students of limited means. I appreciate the valuable opportunity to talk to such a distinguished group on a subject that is vital for the prosperity of our countries, said Ambassador Wayne, and get your views on how we can work together to support our future leaders while learning from each other through study in the neighboring country. Mérida, with its excellent security and numerous universities, is a city with a great potential to send and receive students. I look forward to working closely with our partners in Mérida to build on their successes. Ambassador Wayne also congratulated the Autonomous University of Yucatan and Anahuac Mayab University for winning a grant competition from the 100,000 Strong Initiative. The United States is proud to work with its partner Mexico to promote academic exchanges which benefit both nations and the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, www.voanews.com/editorials.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's premier newsmaker interview program. If you have ideas for guests or topics, or want to comment on one of our programs, please write to us at Press Conference USA, Voice of America, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. That's Press Conference USA, Voice of America, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or if you have access to the internet, send us an email to pcusa@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is pcusa@voanews.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Jazz America.
This is Russ Davis, the host for Jazz America, where each week we give you the best of jazz past and present and conversation with the music makers. You can hear the program online at voanews.com and on the air on VOA each Saturday and Sunday at 13 hours Universal Time. Join me for Jazz America and help me celebrate the greatness of a century of jazz. Listen at 13 hours Universal Time, Saturdays and Sundays, on voanews.com and the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London. Join me for Border Crossings every weekday at 15 hours Universal Time on VOA Music Mix. Border Crossings is where you decide what we play. It's an hour of your requests.
Thank you.